Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more and we talk about it. Hello, I'm Carmen. I'll be your host tonight. Today is March 30th, 2024. I hope you had a great week. And if you didn't, we're here to pray for you. God bless you all. I pray you really did have a good week. I was studying this week about God and his holiness. I read in Matthew 4:4, where it talks about, it says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." I used to hear a pastor say that all the time. He used to be one of my old pastors. Not that I'm calling him old, but he used to always, it was one of his favorite scriptures. I also read in Leviticus where Moses, the Lord told Moses what things they needed to do for the tabernacle. We're listening to Prophet Randy talking about the red heifer and all the things that are about to take place and the tabernacle, the temple. Well, when God told Moses, he commanded Moses to tell Aaron and his sons the things that they needed to do. He commanded them. The word command in the Hebrew is zav. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's T-Z-A-V. Well, that word, Zav, speaks about five types of sacrifices and the priestly regulations. This chapter talks about 7 days ordination of Aaron and his sons so they could enter into their holy calling, their holy priesthood. In Leviticus 6, verse 8, there were instructions concerning the sacrifices. God gave them through Moses so that the priests would know what they needed to do, what God wanted them to do. Leviticus 7:11 gave more information, more instructions. Leviticus 8:1 talked about the rites of ordination, how they were to be ordained. And we hear in Numbers 19:1-22, where it talks about the para, aduma, where it's the red heifer. That's the name for red heifer. And how the kohanim, the priest, that's the name of a priest, kohanim, and the Jewish people purified themselves with the ashes of the red heifer. There's all ceremonial ordinances that God gave for them to do things his way, not man's way. And so I spoke about last week that the week before was Purim, the celebration that all Jews throughout the world were reminded to remember what God spared them from when Esther she reported Haman against the people, the Jewish people, and saved their lives. And as the word of God says, you know, she was in that time for such a time as this. And I believe we're all here now for such a time as this. We all have a part. And so soon we'll be having Passover, which will start Monday, April 22nd, 2024, and it'll end. It's like a whole 7 days. It'll end April 29th, 2024, so that you can keep that in mind and understand, you know, what I spoke about last week, that if you really want to understand the Bible, you can't go by the Gregorian calendar because it's off. It is not, it's not in line with the biblical feasts and anything else that God is speaking about. If you want to understand that, then you need to go to the Jewish calendar and follow that one so that it'll line up. You'll understand it better. God said how to prevent burnout. He was talking to me about burnout, and many people are burned out. Spiritual depletion is one of the contributing factors people are dealing with right now. Just like a plant needs water, our soul needs the nourishment of the word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God, proceeds from God, right? When you are depleted spiritually, your soul, where your mind, your will, and your emotions are, will also be depleted. And Leviticus, God gives Moses those instructions for the offerings and the anointing of the tabernacle. We are the tabernacle. We are the temple. God told Moses to have a continual fire on the altar, constantly be burning a fire on the altar. That altar is our life now, our soul. Our soul has a constant desire to go up, to be with God. That's how God created us to be, for Him, not for anything else, not for ourselves. The Bible is like a car. It's like a car manual, right? That manual, the Bible, tells us how to live and how to use our lives and how to, you know, live our lives the way God intended them to be. It shows how, like a car, you know, how to keep it running the way it should, the way it was created, right? And I think I'm, you know, saying things that you probably heard in the past, but there is a reason why I'm talking like this. You're going to understand, you know, I'm building up to something. So it was created to be and operated and maintained, the car. But if you don't know how to operate it and maintain it, you're not going to get the lifespan out of it the way what it was created for. In order to have love in your life, you need to have the right desire within, you know, that you need to keep that fire going when you're in love, right? It needs to be continuously. You don't fall in love one time, and that's it. If you do that, you're not going to be married very long. So the only way that you'll know how to love another person is through God. Just like God told Moses to have that altar, well, he commanded them to do certain things. Not if they wanted to, but this is the way it works for it to work correctly. If you don't follow the owner's manual to a car, the car will burn out and be useless to you. If we don't allow the fire of God to be continuously burning in our lives, we will be in disobedience. to what God commands us to do. Okay? And so we think we got it, and we really don't. Each and every one of us has to strive, thrive in God's word to grow. It's significant for us to understand this, because many of us, or many of some, you know, people really are not walking the way God says. They're walking in their own strength, in their own pride, thinking that that's God. And it's really religion, and religion is pride. And so we're supposed to be doing this day and night, because that's what the tabernacle was all about. You don't eat once a day. You eat twice or three times a day, right? When God ordained the priests, he said they were to do this day and night for 7 days and night, that they would not die. Okay? So that was a command. They were supposed to do it 7 days, day and night. God is trying to get our attention. We're, in order for us not to be depleted and not have burnout, we need to seek God day and night. Not one day, not 2 days, but every day. When we don't keep the fire burning, we burn out. And death comes to our lives and to our souls. Then it's harder to get back on fire for God. It's not impossible, but it's harder. The fire in the tabernacle is symbolism of God's love, his burning love constantly in our souls, and his presence living in us continuously. That's why we see some people that are getting depressed and want to die. They aren't feeding that fire in their soul. They're not feeding that fire in their soul. And some people don't even realize it, but they're not feeding that fire in their souls, and they're constantly yo-yoing. One moment they're here, one moment they're there. Sometimes it is food. It is, you know, the food that you're eating, but it's also the spiritual food that you're eating. We were hearing Prophet Randy talking about how he, you know, he felt a little off, and he didn't know, you know, why he was feeling that way. And he started eating differently, and sure enough, he started feeling better. So just like our physical man needs food, spiritual man needs the food also. That divine fire inside of you, inside your heart and soul, can only be put in there by your desire to come close to God. The word of God says, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. That means drawing near to you, drawing nigh to God, near to God. How do you do this? By studying the word, putting that fire in your soul, okay? I'm trying to give you these analogies so that you can see what the word says and how you're supposed to apply these things. So the word zav means command, but it also is connected to the word mitzvah. And they both share a common root that means connection. And so if you want to be connected with God, you got to hear his commands. You must connect with God. A mitzvah is a command, things God wants us to do or not do. It could be either way. A mitzvah or zav is a command that God gives us a choice to do or to ignore, or even to pretend that it doesn't apply to you. So those, you got your choice, one, two, or three, to do it, to ignore it, to pretend that it's not applying to you. For instance, your time of rest. What God tells us to do is not a command, a recommendation that you choose and you pick if you want to do it or not. There are laws and rules on the earth we must follow. You ignore them, there will be consequences. You ignore your time of rest, whether it's going to bed or your time of rest and being in the Word of God, you're going to have consequences. These consequences can be, like for an example, a ticket for not following the traffic law. Your utility is taken off for not paying your bills. The loss of your credit card
because you're not paying it, or you're maxing out. You're not being a good steward. Some things, if you ignore God's commands, sometimes they manifest as consequences both spiritually and physically in your life. God gives you opportunity. He tells you over and over and over and gives you an opportunity to change your ways. But if you're constantly doing it, you're going to face the consequences. Therefore, like, for instance, you run a traffic sign. You may not hit another car. You may not get stopped by a police officer. But keep doing that time and time again, and then you'll get caught. And then you'll have consequences. Therefore, without the daily burning of the fire continuously in your life will have that consequences, that depression. And God knows where it's going to lead, to other things in our lives that don't allow us to move or to have things even taken from us. That's a consequence. Maybe taking your license away. It could be anything. That can be your finances, your health. Yeah, keep doing the same thing you're doing, and your health will go down the bowl. Ministry, your relationships, and eventually your life. So we need to look and examine our lives. I'm always talking about examining our lives for a reason. We don't want to be found lacking. No one will make you do anything. No one will impose your free, they won't impose on your free will. Not even God, because he doesn't want robots. That's how we love him back, by obeying him. By obeying him. Do what he says. A perpetual fire shall be kept burning on the altar. Ignite a passionate love. Ignite a passionate love for God. As you do it, you'll burn you will burn out if you don't. All the bad things, if you do it and you ignite that fire, all the bad things that try to come against your life will be pulled away from you. But the opposite is true. If you don't see God, then all these things will be attracted to you. There's nothing to push them away. And so the more you read the word, obey the word, tell others about God, the more that spiritual garbage, the things that come out of your life get burned out with the fire. The fire burns out everything that's not supposed to be there. You may say, well, it's been so long. There are hidden embers in your life that will catch your life on fire again. Remember the analogy I gave once about, hold on. We have noisy neighbors. There's some embers in your life that if you kindle them, blow on them, they'll spark up. And like the analogy of the vacuum, once a lady was cleaning the fireplace and she used the vacuum. Next day she finds the vacuum all melted. Why? Because she didn't realize there were embers in that fire that burned the vacuum. And so you have embers. No matter how long it's been, God can start a fire if you let him. And so there's been even places with a little cigarette somebody lights up and throws in a field, and next thing you know, we have wildfires. In our case, we want God. We want God's fire. We want God's fire to burn everything that isn't of him. But first, we must draw nigh. If you don't draw nigh, he can't draw nigh. The more you draw nigh closer to him, he'll draw closer to you. Leviticus talks about the food too, you know, the different types of food that they were supposed to eat and those that they weren't supposed to eat.
we must be mindful of what we eat also. Not everything that's out there is good for us. God gave the priests specifics on what they should do and what they shouldn't do to stay healthy. They also were to be careful with what they said, they thought, everything. We have to be careful. Even, you know, eating, exercising, these things will help us feed and our bodies, our soul, our spirit. Believe it or not, everything is connected. The physical and the spiritual is all connected. If you don't eat right, it'll affect you. It'll affect you emotionally. So try to keep a set time to read your word and study it and meditate on it, because it's not just reading the word. It's meditating that's going to get it from your head into your spirit. Meditating is like chewing on it. And when you chew on it, then you can swallow it and it gets deep down inside. So meditate on God's word. And I don't mean meditate like they do with yoga, because that's not meditation. That's something we should not ever do, keep our minds blank. We need to take God's word and think of it over and over again. Think, okay, what is it that God is talking to me? And pray, be prayerful about that. And there were different offerings. There was the offering of thanksgiving for one. Thanksgiving offering was one that had to be done on the same day, families and friends to celebrate it. One should always give thanks for all God's goodness in front of others, so that they can see what God has done in your life and could do it in theirs. Giving thanks is an offering like that which were done in the temple. Giving an offering of thanks. Don't forget to give God thanks, because a person that is not thankful, it's not pleasing to God. Yet God wants you to, you know, be thankful and joyful. The Bible gives this analogy of jars of clay. Our bodies are like a jar of clay. What's inside of us is valuable and it's holy. It's holiness. This is what God values in us, that holiness, walking with him, with his holiness. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." This is the treasure inside of us that God values. Paul, in his writings, compared believers to jars of clay that held within God's holiness, that treasure. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 10, he said, "For ye have the treasure in earthen vessels, always caring about it in the body, the dying of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua also may be manifested in our body." So we are dying to self. We're dying to what we want and allowing God to have his way. Like the clay jars used in the temple sacrifices, this jar was perishable. It had its limits. But the treasure that it held, the sin offering, was absorbed into that jar, making it holy. It couldn't be used for anything else or removed from the sanctuary. It became holy. Likewise, we are holy when we carry God's presence. We aren't made for anything else. The clay pot was used for the sin offering. Jesus was a sin offering when he was sacrificed at the cross. On the cross, Jesus being within us makes us holy. We're holy because of the treasure within us. That's God. I saw a short video of a man pleading a deliverance minister, and he was telling him all the things that were going on. He was a believer, but all the struggles that he was going on, he was hearing voices. I think he was like schizophrenic. And he says that he had a season where he was free, but it was all coming back. And he wanted to be set free. He was crying. He turned his face away from this minister. And he was saying, "No, no, no. No, he's holy. He's holy."
the minister told him, you know, even in talking about it right now, my hair stand on end. The minister told him, you two are holy. You two are holy. You two are holy. So this man, because he thought that, you know, he knew that he needed deliverance, he didn't see himself the way God saw him. He was carrying God in his inner man. He too was holy. We can't look at people because they're not perfect or they're not the vessels that we think they should be as not being holy. And so, you know, it just sucks me up because it's just, you know, so heavy. God also was talking to me about taxes and deliverance and divorce. We're in tax season where people should have their stuff in order by now because in a few days there's a cutoff, right? I know this lady that is waiting to walk into her calling, she says. She wants others to do the work, but for her, she's still waiting to do what God has called her to do. She's got kind of like a double standard going on here. And she thinks that people don't realize what she's doing, but she's kind of like looking towards them to be the answer to the ministry. And you can't go, you have to look at God. God is the one that's going to supply, not people, for you to get into doing what God is calling you to do. And so, one of her issues is she depends on others to help her with the work of the ministry, and she's not moving into the ministry as she has been so many times told, she says. And she picks and chooses what she wants, what applies to her and what doesn't apply to her. But others are supposed to do things right in her eyes, but yet she has excuses for her imperfections. When Jesus told Peter, give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what belongs to God, right? This is what I told her. But the excuses continued. Others are supposed to pay her taxes from her house. I asked her, whose name is on the house? Whose name is on the house deed? She said, my son-in-law. She said, no, my name is on the deed. Then I said, then you're supposed to pay the taxes, not your son-in-law. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and God what belongs to God. No more excuses. But what did she do? More excuses. I said, find a job and pay your taxes. And this is the same person that doesn't want to go into ministry, supposedly. She had a lot of people prophesying over her that she was supposed to be leading that particular church. And, you know, it kind of irritates me, but I'm trying to be patient with this person. But there's double standards. Standards for others and different standards for herself. We can't be that way. We can't have standards for other people and then have different, oh, this doesn't apply to me. And I've seen many like this. And years go by and things get worse. And what happens to them, they don't get it, that they need to give God what belongs to God. And they listen to everybody else or want to be pleasing to everybody else. And things don't get done. I know a lady that years ago I ministered to, and I told her that she needed to get her home in order because there were some things going on in her home, and she didn't do it. She, I guess, fear of what her children, her adult children, and her husband would say, and nothing got done. And now 10 years later, there's a lot of things, two deaths in the family, a young granddaughter's pregnant, her list goes on and on and on.
And she's a nice lady, but she's not being obedient to God. In Leviticus chapter 9 all the way to 11, talks about the eighth day, Moses calling Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And so Shemini means eight. They were supposed to be to take a calf for the sin offering and a ram to burn off for a burnt offering. Both were supposed to be without blemish. We've heard Father Randy talking about the red heifer. Well, any sacrifice that was done in the temple was to be without blemish. We have to be without blemish. Not that we're going to be perfect, but God wants us. We have been listening to Prophet Randy about this, and you know, the purifying process for the temple and the priest getting ready to do the temple ordinances. It could be any time now, right? It could be any day now. We just need to understand that we need to keep our eyes paid close attention to these things, but not just watching all these things, but understanding that God is trying to show us that there's a parallel, too, with our lives. So Moses commanded what God had told him, and he told the people what they needed to do so that the glory of the Lord would appear to them. So you do this, and then God will appear. Moses and Aaron drew near to the altar and offered the sin offering, the burnt offering, to make atonement for God's people and for themselves. They did follow the instructions God had spoken to Moses about. Aaron lifted his hands and blessed God's people after all the offerings that had been done. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting and blessed the people there. God's glory came down. The fire came out from before God and consumed the burnt offering. The people saw this and shouted and fell on their faces. They saw the proof of it. Many times people go to churches and they see the work of God moving. But then that initial manifestation of God is not a daily thing that happens, and they fade away and they go to another church, and then they go church hopping because they want the same experience at the beginning. Sometimes God does that, but you know, there's a season where there's certain things that have to be put in order. In this case, Aaron and Moses, there was an initial ceremony and things took place, but it wasn't like that every day. Aaron's sons took their censers. Nadab and Abihu took their censers and put fire in it and offered unauthorized fire before God that God had not commanded. God had not commanded. God took fire and consumed them, and they died. And why did they die? It wasn't like they didn't know. Because there was an ordinance first. They were told by Moses what God had said and how they had to do it and how the offerings had to be done. So they went and they did their own thing to serve God when God had not told them to do it that way. There's a time, a place, a way of doing things. But when you don't pay attention and you do it when you feel like it or how you feel like doing it, you're in disobedience. Aaron didn't say anything. Moses used others to remove the dead bodies, to get them out of the sanctuary, out of the camp. Can you imagine a father losing two sons in a day? Moses then tells Aaron he wasn't to mourn. He wasn't supposed to mourn his sons, lest he died also. Why? because of the anointing that was on him. Because of that anointing all of the Lord was upon Aaron. When you serve God, sometimes the things of the world cannot, things that are happening around you cannot affect you. You have to continue doing what God says. If your family is not following, like one time I heard the Lord saying, let the dead bury the dead. You have to let it go, and you have to keep on doing what God is telling you to do. Like it's not even happening. Why? Because they chose to live the way that they want. The only thing Aaron didn't do was to drink wine or strong drink because he was grieving, but everything else he did. There were some things he didn't, but he told Moses. The things that they did was to separate them as priests, as people, to distinguish the things that were holy from the common, the clean from the unclean. Things, when they're holy, they're not the same as everything else. We've talked about this before. They were priests and they were taught, and they were taught to teach the people of Israel all the statutes spoken by God, that God spoke to Moses. Moses asked Aaron why he didn't do the sin offering. But Aaron didn't want to because he felt saddened for his son's death. And every offering that you give to God has to be done with joy. There's an attitude to giving that God requires us. He doesn't want us to be unwillingly giving something that you don't really want to and not being joyful about giving. He wants a joyful giver. Sometimes in all our circumstances, it's hard to feel joy. We shouldn't equate happiness with joy. God wants us to be joyful regardless of what we go through. Our circumstances should not dictate to us our joy. Many people say, I want to be happy. No, you need to be joyful like God said to be joyful. But joy is not connected to your circumstances. Happiness, if you want to be happy, you'll never be happy because your circumstances will never, usually won't line up. There's always something to be unhappy about. God doesn't want us to lose our joy when we're going through the death of a loved one, when we lose whatever you had your heart set on. Whatever the case may be, stay joyful. Even when the promises of God don't seem to be happening, stay joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. God spoke to Moses of the many things that people were to do to separate themselves from the things of the rest of the world. What they ate, how they were to dress, the types of animals that they could eat. I mean, the list goes on and on. God says, Leviticus mentions all of this in Leviticus. He said, to consecrate yourselves, therefore, to be holy, for I am holy. I went on. God had gone and told them what they needed to do so they wouldn't defile themselves. But there's always some people that don't listen, and they think things don't apply to them. Aaron's sons presented to God strange offerings that got them killed. What are these strange fires? Doing what is disobedient or profane. God wasn't having it. God set them as an example of what happens when you're bringing disobedience to him. They were judged with the physical death. We can't present to God proud sacrifices. Cain, the one that killed Abel, Cain brought
Cain's sacrifices weren't received by God. Yet Abel's were, because Abel presented what God had already told him to bring. But Cain did his own thing. He brought a different sacrifice. Things were to be before God, and think you can't think that you're going to be accepted doing things your way. God only accepts our obedience to what he tells us to do, not what we think we should do. If we continue to disobey in life, God will discipline you. And that's the good thing. In Hebrews 12:7-11, he says, he disciplines those he loves. If he loves you, he's going to discipline you. Are you going to let your child do whatever they want? No, you're going to discipline them. Why? Even though it hurts them, but it'll hurt them more if you don't discipline them. So because God loves you and he doesn't want you to hurt more in the long run, he's going to discipline you now. If you keep doing what God is saying not to do, God will bring harder measures on you. So we can understand he isn't pleased with what we're doing. And if you keep that up, you'll end up like Aaron's sons did. And I'm going to bring a warning to you all from the ministers down. 1 Corinthians 1:29-30 says, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. I know people who ministered that are no longer with us. I know of believers that weren't ministers and handled the things of God with pride, and they're no longer with us, or they're now sick. Even in their ignorance, they're sick. People, we are going to be seeing things like this, like with Aaron's sons, happening. As we grow closer to God and draw closer and become holier, I mean, we are holy, but as the anointing increases, there's going to be things that those that are not doing it, they're going to meet swift consequences, quick consequences. Your children, if you have children in your home, teenagers in your home, make sure they're walking right with God. They're under your roof. That anointing in your life affects them in a good way, and it could also in a bad way if they're not walking right. And anybody else under that roof. Think it's strange when things start happening. You have to warn them. You have to bring them in the order of the Lord. I hate to say that, but, you know, I'm warning you guys so that you can understand that this is no joking matter. This is not something you play with. I know that that people that didn't heed what my prophetic warning gave them, and now they're suffering the consequences, ugly consequences. And it took years, but it happened. And honestly, those things that are being asked are nothing compared to what God is asking us to be holy and to stay holy. It's nothing compared to that. We need to understand. We need to filter whatever we do through the Lord, through the word of God, that God will keep us from pride. There are fires. God had authorized fires and other fires that weren't authorized. When we do things that God has already shown us we aren't to do, and do it anyway, when we do it, it's like bringing on another fire. It's dangerous. We have to pay attention to what God says, and we need to read the word, because it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Aaron's sons were told beforehand what needed to be done.
They just chose to disobey. You can't treat the things of God or those that have God's presence. Remember, the vessels used in the temple became holy, even when they weren't holy. They became holy because they held the things for the vessels, but they weren't taken out of the sanctuary, and they weren't used for anything else. They became holy. And so God's presence is on the vessels. People are vessels. And we have to remember the vessels in the tabernacle become holy when they were used, right? For holy use. If you are allowing yourself to be used for something that God says not to do, then you're out of line. You have to be careful how you treat those that are vessels of God, because you're not coming against them. You're coming against the anointing that's on them. I hope you understand that. Be careful when somebody's correcting you and you don't listen, because God is using that vessel to bring correction to you so that you won't die. Okay? So, praise God. I'm going to be taking some calls now. Give me one second here. All right. 334-403. Your name and where you're from. 334-403. Wait, hold on.
Tanya. Tanya
and Dave. Yeah. Okay. I'll come back to you. Okay. Hello. God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Tanya, Lord. You were someone different before. Now you're a different person. You are you are in Christ. You were a different person in the past. And you need to remember that, because the enemy comes in as an accuser. Sometimes when the anointing comes up high, he tries to accuse those that are living for God, because he can't any other way. If he can come into their mind and try to tell them who they were, because I was seeing that word, were, who they were, and he can get you to think that that's God, or that's a condemning voice, because the enemy doesn't want you to move ahead. And that usually happens when you're on fire for God. And so don't think it strange when the enemy tries to bring condemnation. Just rebuke it. Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Those thoughts can be from the enemy. And so we thank you, Lord, for Sister Sonia, because she's not who she used to be. That's who you were. That you are now a woman of God. You are now a believer. You're now in Christ. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because the enemy doesn't mess around with the people that are doing nothing, but with those that are. And so we praise you, Lord, for Sister Sonia. We just thank you, Lord. Touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Touch her voice, touch her body, and use her mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sister Sonia.
Yeah, Sister D too. She said Sonia and D.
Hi, D. Okay, let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Dee. Thank you, Lord, for Dee, Lord. I see a transformation in Dee. Transformation. I see that there's changes taking place in your life. And it's the same thing that you were. And you are now a different person because of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I'm seeing, like, because you're in the Word, I see, like a wreath of flowers over your head. A wreath of flowers, the beauty of the Word of God that makes us beautiful. That's how much you've changed. You're changing more and more. And it's not just once, but constantly. Like the fires that are asked of the priest to be lit day and night. I see that you're getting there. You're getting there and trying to keep that fire on. And that's the beauty. You know, God is giving you beauty for ashes, the beauty for ashes. And you're learning that. And you see the state that of where you were and where you are now. And so we thank you, Lord, that as she continues to do this, that she would just, these things that have been on her for so many years will be burnt off. These things will start to take, to burn off. The things that shouldn't be attached to your life will be burned off because of the fire of God in your life. So we thank you, Lord, for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hello, Sonia and Dee.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Bless.
Yes. Problem is, Carmen, I've had some promises that God has made to me, some of them being up to 7. It's going on the 8th year. I'm asking God to release that. And I'm also, I'm going to ask
to release what?
I'm asking to release what? To release the promises he's made me.
Release the promises he's made to her.
Okay. Well, like I mentioned before, we rejoice in the place that we're in, and while we wait for the Lord's perfect timing. And I understand sometimes we pray for our problems, but we can't move God's hands to go ahead of time. He has his perfect timing for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we get a little bit antsy and we want things done. And sometimes he doesn't say, the thing is that when we're praying, we got to understand sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait.
Yeah.
And so as we are waiting, we're growing closer to him and we stay rejoicing no matter what's going on around us. Because it's not based on happiness, it's based on rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. 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 Again, I say rejoice. So you keep on rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen. I just need to be reminded. But tonight, Prophetess coming.
You don't have to call me prophetess. I mean, you know, I know I'm prophesying and all that, but, you know, you don't have to use the title. Just call me Carmen.
Okay. All right, prophetess coming. I'll do that. But I'm going to ask the better to step in and pray for you tonight. Let her use her anointing tonight. Is that okay? I normally do, but I want her to pray for you. I want her to use her gifts, too.
You can pray for me and everybody else on PGN, and especially for Prophet Randy, because he's the one that's carrying all this. We need to pray for him. We always do.
Right.
We need to pray for him.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yesterday, you prayed tonight, and I pray another time.
Well, I think she's saying just pray, Sonia. I don't think she's talking about right now.
Yeah. I always pray for her after she pray for us, because she needs the extra virtue for the other people. Would you do it tonight?
I'll do it if she wants me to do it, Sonia. Okay? Amen.
Yes, prayer is always good thing. I don't reject prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Jesus. So you want to do that at the end? Oh, I'm sorry. There's some noise from the car.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
You say that I want to do it at the end?
Is that what she wants to do?
No, I'm saying you asked me. I thought you was asking that I want to do it at the end. I'm just trying to see what you were saying. No, not you. I was talking about Prophetess Carmen. She asked, did you want to do it at the end? So I'm trying to find out, when am I supposed to be praying?
Now. Pray for her now. She got a lot of virtue to bring out.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your holy name. Father, we thank you for life on tonight. God, we thank you for your mercies being renewed every day. Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Father God, for all things great and small. Thank you for your protection. Oh, God, for your hand being upon our lives, our families, and loved ones. God, we come before you tonight. God, we touch and agree. Father God, we pray for Prophet Randy. We pray for our Prophet is coming. God, we pray for all those on the PGN Network, God, but mostly tonight, God, to restore the virtue, Carmen, on tonight, Father God, as she ministers to others on the line. God, we ask that you will rejuvenate, revive her, Father, in the name of Jesus, and give her strength to continue to go forth in you. God, we bind the will of the enemy, God. We cancel every assignment and every attack of the enemy. Father God, we come against backlash and retaliation on tonight, oh God, for your word, God, to go forth, oh God, even as she speaks it. God, we ask that you would clear the airways, God, the atmosphere, Father God, that she may continue to go forth in you, Father, and she may speak the very oracles of your word. We thank you on tonight, God, for her life, for her family, God. Bless her, God, above and beyond that which she can ask or think, oh God, according to your word. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Is there anything else
you would like to say tonight?
I've been having some family difficulties. Pray for my children, for my boys, for their for the spirit of harmony with mm-hmm. them, that they will learn to come together, you know, uphold each other in righteousness, you know, things that are right, and that they will begin to understand each other. And for God to take away or bind, those
God bless you.
Spirits of anger, thank you, anger and rage from past hurts and rejections and failures and all those things that cause people to be angry or to lash out.
Yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up these sons, Father God, her family, Lord. I pray that you bring unity, in that family. Father God, I pray that you just, you know, convict them. Each time they say an ugly word or direct an ugly accusation against each other, Lord, that you convict them in such a way that they would know that there is I'm doing something wrong. Help them to see, Father God. I pray that you bring your love in their midst, Father God. Bring healing, Father God, in their emotions from their past, Father God. Bring healing from what other people may have done to them. Lord, help them to forgive others. Help them to forgive the things of the past. Help them to forgive themselves. Help them, Father God, to forgive even their parents, Father God. Help them to forgive their siblings in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your healing touch. I thank you, Lord, for the coming weeks that you're going to touch them, that you're going to move in their lives in a special way. Put people in their path. Help them to see themselves maybe in the life of somebody else. And so that, because sometimes people see things better in what's going on in somebody else's life, but not their own, Father God. But I pray that they can see their own life in the lives of others as they see the mess. But, Lord, you're in the mess. You make the mess. You make something beautiful of the mess. And so I ask you for that. Turn things around that they would know that it was you and that they would give you glory for turning them around, for loving them. For caring for them, that they will have a testimony, that this family would have a testimony, that they would know that God is real because of look what he has done for me and my family. And so thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I just pray that you touch my sister, that she would not move, but she would move when you say move and say something, but to keep quiet when you don't tell her to say anything. Because sometimes we want to do, but because she is obedient to hear your voice and to wait on you and to wait on what you're leading her to do, there's going to be victory. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you would touch her in a special way, that she will not move until you say move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and help her to stay on her knees. Praying for her family, Father God, that she will not look at what she sees, but that she knows that she serves a living God, a living God that hears our prayer. And we thank you, Lord, for that unity, for that love.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome, sister.
Yeah.
We'll keep praying for you. Is
thank
there anything
you.
Else you'd like to? All of a sudden, I've been wanting to cough.
You say all of a sudden you what now?
I wanted to cough. I was fine all this time, and now it's like, you know, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Well, thank you, sisters, for calling. Is there anything else you want to share?
Just find that God's perfect will be done in my life. I was thinking about making a decision, but I'm between, I don't know which decision.
I can't make out what you're saying today. Yeah, I don't know if it's the phone that's not allowing.
She said, pray for God's will to be done. She is between opinions about something that she needs to do, and she don't know which way to go or what to do.
Okay. Well, Father God, we just pray for Sister Sonia. Father God, I just pray that she hears clearly from you and that she won't follow opinions, but that she hears your voice. And that she won't move until she hears that. I pray, Father God, that as she spends her time in the Word, that and as she meditates on your Word, that she will know what you're telling her, what she needs to do, Father God. If it's to confirm something or to negate something, Lord, that you speak clearly to her in her time, in her time with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Sonia, Lord. That she's not swayed by opinion. She's only moved by God's word. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I'll pray for you next week.
All right. Well, God bless you.
I was trying to be a chance for you to get.
I can't make out what you sound far away. So can you say that
she's
again?
She's saying she'll pray for you next time. She she's giving me a chance to use my gift. I mean,
amen.
But anyway, all right. You have a blessed night.
God bless you, sister. God bless you both. All right. Bye-bye. Have a great week. All right. 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Sister Carmen. This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Okay. Give me a minute. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. The seniors. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm seeing you like being wooed unto the Lord. It's like he's saying, come, come, like he's calling you closer to him. And I believe that the Lord is saying, you know, come, come, those that are weary and heavy laden, come and I'll give you rest, is what the Lord is saying. Come and I'll give you rest. Come, come, my dear, come and I'll give you rest. It seems like you're tired physically, you're tired spiritually, and the Lord is waiting on you. He says to come because he's got stuff to give you. He's got good things to give you, things that will restore you, things that will give you the rest that you need, things that will give you hope and peace for the things that are happening. And so we thank you, Lord, for the drawing nigh unto God that's taking place within Sarah and the Lord. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. It's almost like a shot, like an IV shot, that as you draw close to the Lord, it's almost like you're getting a shot of exactly what you need, and you're going to feel fabulous. You're going to feel fabulous. That's what I'm seeing, that as you're drawing closer, that you're getting that shot. The things that you need, that you're praying about, as you come before him, that's what you're going to get. Spending time in his word, meditating on his word. That's the shot in the arm that you need right now. And so the Lord is saying, come, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. The things of the world are not going to give you rest. That bed that you're in, no, that's not going to give you rest. I will give you rest. Spiritual and physical rest. I will give you rest. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Sarah. All right. Sarah.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I am doing good. And, you know, Sister Carmen, it's like, I don't know what's going on here. Okay, can you hear me?
I've been hearing you. I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, what the Lord was ministering and telling you to tell me and using you as a spiritual mouthpiece, there is come and give you rest. What he's saying is come and I'll give you rest. And I thank the Lord that he said that because I've been needing it. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I went to, I've got my left knee, which was causing a little bit of pain. But anyway, it has been, I had the left knee to be the knee replaced in the left knee, total knee replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, I will rebuke the adversary if he wants to try to make me think that the right one's going to act up, because I'm ready to go back to work because I'm feeling good. The left knee's doing good. It's total recovery, thank the Lord. But now the right knee wants to do something, so I'm just going to pray tonight that
well,
the Lord steps in.
Well, it's normal for the body to shift its weight to the other side while the other one is it's the way the body protects itself. It's the way the body protects itself. But you try to correct that and be gentle with your body and bring your balance on both sides so that one side doesn't get overly strong and the other one gets weak. Because I remember getting selective surgery for a bunionectomy. And I wasn't putting the weight on one side, so I was putting it on the other side. And believe it or not, the one that I had the surgery on got skinny. And the one that I was putting all my weight on got fatter, stronger.
Yeah.
And I had to make a decision that even though it was painful, that I needed to start correcting my walk and started bringing the balance on both sides. And then shortly, but, you know, soon later, that it started correcting itself. But I was gentle on myself at the beginning, because I didn't want to hurt that new surgery to ruin it. So I went slowly, and I didn't, I tried to rest as much as I could and tried, and when I did walk, I tried to correct the things that I was doing wrong before and making it right so it could have an even balance. And even still today, when I overdo work, I can feel that, you know, sometimes my back will hurt, but then I realize, no, I got to walk correctly because that's part of it. So I'll do everything that I can do by putting compression socks or whatever, you know, new gadgets out there. I'll try it, but I try to correct my walk and my posture, because as we get older, our body gets a little bit weaker, but, you know, it's not that we're confessing that, but it's a natural process. But you can stay strong if you know to keep your body doing what it's supposed to do, not giving in to the pain. Because when you give in to the pain, that's when everything gets off balance. You see? And so I was, and a lot of that pain that I used to have before, because I would, you know, from so much walking, I would get pain on my heel. Now I know what to do, and it goes away in a matter of a day or two. Not like before, that it would be getting worse and worse and worse, and I was in pain. I couldn't hardly walk. And so now I know what I have to do to correct myself. And so we need to correct ourselves physically and spiritually
more.
Speaking. And because sometimes we do things that is not pleasing to God, and when we don't correct ourselves, we bring other problems. So as we listen to our bodies, examine our lives, things fall into place, spiritually and physically speaking. Okay? And so you are going to begin to give your body the rest it needs, because without the rest, you can't do anything. You could hurt yourself. I know of so many people that have gotten surgeries, and they, because they feel fine, they start doing things pre the pain. And you can't do that. You have to gently allow your body to get stronger. Like my leg that was skinnier on one side, I couldn't do the same thing. I had to gently do it little by little and then increase it as time went by.
Uh-huh.
So we do things you know, in our walk with God, drawing closer to God and allowing God to help us and not being, you know, rough with ourselves sometimes, because we can be our worst critic. We can be our worst critic, and we can offset our growth because of, well, I should know better, that kind of self-talk. Give yourself time to grow and keep on moving and keep on moving, and also with your body, and you're going to see a difference. You know, be gentle where you need to be gentle, and be stronger where you need to be stronger. Amen. Drawing
Amen.
Close to God. He's going to give you the rest in your body. You're going to feel less pain. You're going to start. But remember, be gentle and draw close to him, and he'll show you. You know, we need to keep our bodies in line, sitting properly, walking properly. Yeah, I may have pain. Get up and keep walking. And now I notice that a lot of the pains that I used to have are not there like before. You know, there are some days where I overdo it because I have a lot of things to do. I have to go up and down certain stairs. But then I remind myself, no, I am not going to give in to the little bit of pain, because it's going to be worse later on. I'm going to walk right.
Yeah.
And before you know it, I'm my body's in line, my back is in line, and I'm like, ooh, I didn't have to take anything for that. I barely take any pain relief, rarely. I do not like taking it because it messes up your liver. And
uh-huh.
So I trust the Lord to help me, and I take care of my body. I drink water, and I realize, yeah, I'm getting older, but it doesn't mean that I'm getting weaker. I can be strong. And God confirmed that to me. I've seen, like, for instance, today,
uh-huh.
I take care of elderly people. They're in their 87. They're 87. And I took the wife to the beauty parlor. I noticed that, you know, she always likes to be beautiful and get dress and this, and she's always focused on beauty and wanting to do her hair every week and all that. Well, some of the ladies that came into that beauty parlor, they're well off. One was 97 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one in her 80s also that was friends with the lady that I take care of with her husband. They're doctors, you know, and they're no longer doctors because they're retired now. So I'm talking about educated people. I noticed something in the one lady, that the one that I'm taking care of, I noticed a necklace that she wore. And I was like, I've seen that necklace before. I've seen that shape. And it's like a hand, and then it has an eye in it. So I did some research on it, and it has to do with the evil eye. Some people use it as a protection for the evil eye. Other people use it because it has to do with Kabbalah and all that stuff with Jewish, the Jewish religion, Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is all garbage. It's all garbage. It's not of God, is basically what I'm trying to get to. But this is what God says, you know. These women, all their years of doing it, they're crooked in their ways of seeing what true beauty is all about. Beauty comes from the Lord. Allowing him to change her from the inside out. There's a scripture that says in 1 Peter 3:3-4, it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborated hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So this is what God commands us to put our thoughts on, that our beauty doesn't come from outward things, doesn't come by wearing jewelry made out of gold that has the protection of, you know, evil, the evil eye. The one that protects us is God, not some gold jewelry. because you wear it. And I thought, my God, these women are 87, 97, 80-something, and they're believing still, after all these years, the wrong way. It's all about looking beautiful. And I'm not saying that it's not bad. It's not bad to look beautiful, but there is an obsession with beauty, even in older women, from the young to the old. We got a distorted view of what is right. Just like God gave instructions, commands to the priests, what they needed to do in order to have those sacrifices so that they can be pleasing, so his presence could come. Well, the same thing, our beauty should not come from outward things, from clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an obsession, and there is a sadness in this woman because she says, oh, we used to go out every weekend. Because she looks at her age, you know, like with sadness. I had to remind her that now she has wisdom of things that she learned that her grandchildren need to hear her telling them so that they won't make the mistakes that she and her husband may have made when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And so the focus is on clothing, expensive clothing. I'm dealing with all of this, you know, with this woman and her husband. I'm taking care of them, what they're eating. They're very stubborn about what they want to eat. They want to eat what they want to eat, even though they have conditions. And I'm here, like, racking my brain, trying to cook for them the healthy way, but they don't want the healthy. They want, yet they're older now. But I'm like, dear Lord, you know, their mentality is off from what God wants us. So, you know, you're not wise because you get old or because you're really old, you're a wise person. No, you're wise because you listen to what God says and you do what God says. And you
Amen.
Can be a young woman and be wise. Amen. And so God gives us wisdom on how to take care of ourselves when we just listen. And spend time with him. He'll speak to you. He'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we think, you know, yeah, the prophetic is good because it confirms some things. It goes into so many areas. Not only confirmation. It's more than that. It's telling you, you know, oh, you may be off track. Get back on track. You know, we don't like hearing that part, but that's part of it. That's part of it. And so that's what I hear for you, that, you know, draw closer to the Lord, and he's going to show you some things. He's going to show you some things. And as he shows you, you're going to rest. There's going to be this peace. There's, you know, that's why so many people are getting into depression, because they're not spending the time that they need with God. They need to hear God. And you know what? It burns away. It burns that fire that you have between you and the Lord. It burns away all the ugly stuff, all the things that were burdening you. It burns it all away, you know?
Well,
and so God says day and night. Go ahead.
While you were praying with the lady, I forgot her name, but she was before me. I was reading Luke 10, and now I'm on Luke chapter 11. And I tell you, you were right. The Lord is really, really using you, and I'm thankful for it, because it's not only for me but for others that the Lord leads us in the right way through the prophetic. And not only that, through his word, and he used parables, and it's just awesome, and it's nothing new under the sun. We have when you read the Bible, it's like they've gone through the same things we have, and God is so good to leave the Bible behind to let us be able to relate to others that have gone through what we're going through here on earth.
Want to avoid burnout? Spend time in the Word. When you spend time in the Word, all those things that are burning you out will dissipate, will go away. The more you do it, the better you'll feel. But it's not a one-time thing. It's day and night. You got to keep the fires going, just like God told the priests. He says, you know, have those fires burning day and night. Let them burn.
Keep
right?
the word.
Why? There's light. Light dispels the darkness. Light dispels the darkness. So as we, I mean, you know, we need to be reminded. We need to, you know, understand that without God's instructions, we're going to botch things up. We're going to mess things up such in such a way that, you know, but there's always those embers to bring them back, to bring that fire back. And we all go through those things, and we, as we read the word, we get encouraged. Other people, like you said, have gone through it, and they made it, and we will too. And we will
Amen.
Too. Amen. Is there anything
Amen.
You want us to pray about or anything you want to say before we move on to the next caller?
Well, Leah's working. She, I'm praying she likes her new job, and just praying that, you know, the Lord leads and guides her on the job as well as her life, and orders her footsteps, and that the Lord orders both of our footsteps and to his righteousness. And
amen.
That's all.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Leah. We lift up Sarah. We ask you, Father God, for that household, Father God. We pray, Father God, just like Sarah said, for their footsteps, that they would walk in the ways of the Lord. And as they seek you, as they read, spend time in your word, meditating on what you're telling them and what how that applies to them, that steps are going to be ordered. They're going to know exactly what they need to do. I thank you, Father God, for that job that Leah has. I pray, Father God, that you would help her, Father God, to make the most out of it, that the finances, that nothing will, she will lack nothing, and nothing she will lack, that she would have everything that she needs, Father God, but most important, her relationship with you. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in both Leah and Sarah. And I ask you, Father God, that you do more as they seek you more and more. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them. Thank you, Lord, for drawing them close to you. Thank you, Lord, for burning the things that shouldn't be in their lives as they seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. I apologize with the cars going by.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. And I thank the Lord for you, Sister Carmen, for not only praying for me, but praying for others. And may the Lord continue to increase your wisdom and education for just others that gets on the phone lines. That
Amen.
Is great and wonderful. And I thank the Lord for you.
Amen. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful week. Say hi to Leah for me.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, tell her I said God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
870-415, your name and where you're from.
Texas.
You
got to
get the right one. Oh, I'm sorry.
Texas.
Give me a minute. My fat finger. It's the wrong number. Sorry. 870-415, your name and where you're from. I'll get back to you, 832.
Hi, this is Shavonda from Arkansas.
Shavonda, okay. Like, give me a minute, I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Shavonda. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For the encouragement that God is giving you, showing you, guiding you, and even correcting you. And because he loves you so much, he won't leave you alone. He loves you. Shavonda. He loves you so much. Shavonda, you need to hear that. God loves you. God loves Shavonda. And all the things that you see are going around you, don't get discouraged. God loves you. Just because things are happening, that doesn't mean God's not loving you. He loves you. Sometimes we associate everything going well with the love of God. When things aren't going well, then, oh, God must not love me. But he does. He does. In the midst of all your trials and tribulation, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He's going to guide you. No matter how dark the days may seem sometimes, rejoice. He's there. Don't allow the enemy to pull you in to the lies that God is not with you. He's with you. Just because certain things happen doesn't mean he's not. He's there with you. And you need to know that. You need to understand that, Shavonda. Draw closer to him. Sometimes, you know, when you don't feel like things are going well and you don't feel loved, and you're just like, God, where are you? He's there. But don't lose faith. Trust in him. Trust. And you're going to see things changing little by little as you give yourself. Things didn't get to where they are overnight, but they can come out of that darkness pretty fast as you give yourself to the Lord. As you allow that fire between the love of God with you to burn stronger and stronger, you're going to see some things happening. Those things that shouldn't be there are going to burn away. You're going to burn away. But first you have to understand he loves you. He loves Shavonda. He loves Shavonda. Sometimes when we understand that's probably the main thing that sometimes is needed for us to understand so things can get moving. Because when we don't feel that we're loved, we stay stagnant. Nothing seems to happen because there's no faith. But trust in God. Keep your faith in him. Don't look at your circumstances. Because the circumstances will surely lie to you. The more you seek him and spend that time, even when other people are pulling on you, spend time with him. It feels so good to be in God's presence before him. Everything else seems to fall away. That's how I feel when I'm like, oh, I'm on low. I better hurry up and get close to God. I can feel it, but God says day and night. He told the priest day and night to burn fire day and night. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a morning thing. It's a day and night thing all the time. So day and night, as you seek him and you start talking to him and reading his word, he's going to start revealing certain things to you. And you're going to realize, oh, that was God all along. He was the one that was talking to me and I thought it was me. And it wasn't you, it was God. He's talking to you through the word. He's talking to you through that preacher that's preaching. He's talking to you through nature. God talks in different ways, but you need to spend a set time. Make an appointment with God daily. Spend time with him, Shavonda. So I thank you, Lord, for Shavonda. I thank you, Lord, that she's seeking you, that she's loving on you, just like you're loving on her. Her heart is for you. Her heart wants more of you. You know, I see like a braid, and it's almost like
You know how Samson's hair was cut off and he was weak? But as he spent time with the Lord, his hair grew back and his strength grew back. And so I see that braid growing longer because of the trust in the Lord, spending time with the Lord. So it's almost like, you know, like a Samson thing. I mean, I know you're a girl, but it's almost like a, you know, how Samson, through time, he grew stronger. He grew stronger in the Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for Shavana. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Hey, Shavana,
amen.
Do you have any braids by any chance?
I actually do. I kind of bust out laughing. Like, I actually do right now. But, I understand the shortening part, too. Earlier, I don't have enough to, and then my middle son came home, and he's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I was praying. But, that was just, I'm blessed because I take me and something about being alone in the text message. So that was just more than confirmation. And I just felt like my heart was like in my stomach because it's like I can't win for losing. But yeah. Oh, boy.
My God.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, I need to hear that. A lot of your message tonight, a lot of that is familiar, especially about the turning out and, you know, God will, you know, you can't, I mean, you will be
breaking up. Try to speak a little slower so that I can hear you because you're breaking up, and I think it might be better, you know, as you speak a little slower just because of the fact that the phone is acting up.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. I was saying earlier in your message about the you know, how you were saying about things being burnt out and, you know, whether you're doing it or others are doing it, God, you keep doing it, you'll get caught some way, somehow. And it's been a lot of things happening on both ends in my marriage and just in general with, you know, different relationships in my life. And it's, oh, it seems like it's so devastating. So, it's devastating, I mean. But, yeah, just like you were saying, don't get discouraged about the things that I'm seeing. So I just thank God that for the refreshing.
Mm-hmm. We need to be encouraged from time to time from the things that we're going through. And I was like, you know, I had a relationship that it was really bumming me out. But I got into the Word and I realized nothing else matters. Only God matters. And I felt so much better because sometimes we want to please those we love, but sometimes that's not possible. The one that we need to please is God. And when we do that, things fall in line. And
right.
Everything else doesn't matter. Things fall into perspective. Things fall into perspective, and then you realize, oh, what am I worrying about? Why am I upset? Doesn't matter. God is the one that I need to be pleasing to is God. And I'm pleasing to God, so forget everything else. You know, if they don't want to be, fall in line, well, I mean, all we can do is pray for others.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
It's kind of funny because I actually said, I need God more than you. I did say that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we do.
I really meant it, but, I mean, it probably sounded crazy to them in the moment of what was going on, but I was so serious, like, you know what, I'm over it at this point. Nobody can help me but God.
Exactly. And it may sound mean to them because they don't understand that without God, nothing matters. Everything is, you know, we can't be people pleasers.
Yeah.
You know, women are social beings. They're nurturers. And we have to be careful with that. Even with our own children, with our spouses, we have to be pleasing to
God. He's the number one. And then everything else falls into place.
Right.
And those that don't fall into place and they want to leave, well, they leave. God mm-hmm. knows what he's doing. We can't, you know, suffer because of what other people do. Sometimes people are leave because they're not supposed to be with us. It sounds rough.
Right.
But when they don't want to fall in line with God, they might be a stumbling block for you. They want maybe, that stumbling block. They may be that thing that pulls you away from God, and you're not any closer to God because of them. And so when they leave, maybe that's what you needed. It may be painful, you know, with some people, but God gives them opportunity. And I'm not, and don't say that I'm saying that, you know, oh, leave your husband. No, no.
Oh, I know.
But spend time with God and let God handle everything else.
Right. I actually asked him earlier, like I said, while I was praying and singing, I was like, God, it's your will, because what it would be selfish of me to ask, oh, let this, you know, to be praying selfishly. That would be selfish. You know, that's not even really praying if you're asking only for what you want. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, ma'am.
That's true.
Well, thank you.
We don't pray for what we want.
Yeah.
All right, girl. Well, God bless
thank
you. I hope
so
you
much.
Have a great week.
All right. God bless you, too, and happy Easter.
All right. You have a good weekend. Bye-bye. All right. 832-231, your name and where you're from. Sorry,
Tasha from Texas. How are you?
Good. Tasha from Texas. Tasha from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Tasha from Texas. Yes, Tasha from Texas. You're tough, but you're not tough in the world sense of being tough. You're tough in the things of God. In the things of God. God makes you strong in him, tough in him. Where the things of this world sometimes comes at us and you're like, you let it roll off. That's the tough Tasha from Texas that you are. The tough Tasha from Texas that when tough things come by, it rolls off of you. Sort of like, I'm thinking of this and I'm trying to think of a way to translate it. This is a pastor of mine from years ago. She would say, you know, when tough things come on us, we have to be like the lettuce. Let it roll off like water rolls off of the lettuce. We're tough like that. We let things roll off of us. And so we thank you, Lord, that there's not there's things that don't attach themselves to Tasha from Texas, because she knows who she serves. She knows who she serves. She knows what to allow in her life and what not to allow in her life. She knows, and she knows how to just, oh, no, this is trying to come to steal my peace. Go in Jesus' name. Rolls off. So we thank you for Tasha from Texas, for the tough Tasha from Texas. She's tough in the Lord. Not in her power, but in the power of God, power of his might, in Jesus' name. All right. Tasha
amen.
From Texas. Tough,
amen,
tough
amen.
Tasha from Texas.
Amen, amen, amen. I receive it in Jesus' name. I'm blessed. I can't complain to you.
Good, good, good. Bless. So what's going on? What's this toughness about?
Well, the toughness is I always try to be a little tough in Jesus' name, but God is good. Yeah, you know, that's always been me, tough. But I'm trying to be tough in the Word instead of I'm tough in the Lord, but not in the world. So that's a good confirmation.
Exactly.
I need to give myself. Yes, sir. And I need prayer for my son and finances.
Okay. Thank you, Lord, for Tasha, her son. Lord, we just thank you for bringing healing even in that relationship, Father God, the understanding, that they understand each other. As he grows older, he's understanding. He's understanding his mother. He's understanding his position. So we thank you, Father God, for that healing in between mother and son. We thank you, Father God, for that in the name of Jesus. Working together. Working together.
Yes,
loving each other in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray for her finances, Father God, that as she learns to be obedient to you, what your word says about being good, a good steward, that she, as she's learning about all that, Father God, that you're lining up the things that are coming her way. So we thank you, Lord, for the lining up of the finances. Thank you, Lord, for bringing order to the finances. Order.
Yes, Lord.
Order in Jesus' name. I just want to say order in the court. So we thank you, Lord, for the things that are bringing order. I thank you, Lord, for bringing order before the courts of heaven.
Lord.
There's things that are out of order that you're bringing, you're going to bring in order. As you seek God's word and you, I recommend you study about finance, or your money, and what you're supposed to do with your money. You know, because when we disobey God, when God says to do something, then it doesn't work out for us. There's disobedience. For instance, Malachi 3 talks about our tithes and our offering. And there's an order that God has. You know, we give to the Lord because he's already given to us. And I know it's hard, especially when we don't have money. I remember when we didn't have that much money. Very little money, and having to deal with, you know, a lot of family members in the house with that little bit of money. But I always gave my tithe because I knew that that didn't belong to me. That was God's, because he blessed me with that. And I wouldn't have had that if he had not blessed me with it. And I kid you not, we never lacked. Somewhere in the house, something would always happen. And still today, things still happen. I give it, and God wants us to give it joyfully, not grudgingly, while we give it to the Lord. And that's a condition. Remember what Aaron told Moses, you know, that he wasn't able to do that offering because he needed to do it with joy, rejoicing, and he wasn't able to do it at that moment. But God requires us that when we give with joy. There's a scripture somewhere that talks about that. Let me see. Give me a second. Let's see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak. No, wait. That's not the one. Something, I know it has to do with joy. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's coming to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Giving with joy. Oh, it says, then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, For with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. See, they're talking about joy. You know, it's the attitude that we give unto God. That we don't give, oh, I got to give it to God. No. No, we give it to God with joy because it doesn't belong to us. He's already blessed us with these things. So you give your tithe, and offering is whatever you want to give, but the tithe is a 10%. I kid you not, every time I would get my 10%, I would pull it out and give it. I gave it with joy, and we lack nothing. We lack nothing. I even taught my children that. I don't know if you remember me saying a story about my son. I can't remember how old he was. He was little, and he wanted a tent. I didn't have money for a tent, and he wanted that tent, and it was his birthday. And I said, well, let's pray and see what God does. So he had 20 bucks that he had been given for his birthday. We went to a Toys R Us, and in the Toys R Us, in the clearance section, they had a brand new tent that was like about $79, and it was on for $19.99. And we were like with our mouths open, 20 bucks. And we had to pay taxes. I said, oh, I'll put it in. Don't worry. And he got his new tent after we prayed. So God, I even taught him. And look, he gave willingly. You know,
amen.
Well, he was learning a lesson, and boy, was that child happy. And it's not that you're giving to get anything, but when you put God first, all these other things, he knows that you need your finances. He knows you need to pay your bills. He'll give you creative ideas. He'll give you ideas maybe to be in the right place at the right time for a job. God, you don't know how God's going to work. But trust
mm-hmm.
God and do give God what is due to him and
mm-hmm.
everything else. He knows his daughter needs. He knows. Trust in him and rejoice when you give it. Amen?
Amen.
However he's going to work it out. However he's going to work it out. I'm automatic. I already know what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I got to do. And you give offerings. I mean, sometimes I feel like sometimes God leads me to do something, and I can't, but I'll do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened the door for something else. And
amen.
I'm like, wow. I go, oh, mm-hmm. that was why I was sensing that I had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes God will have you step out and give. And you're like, oh, wow. You never know what that's all about until maybe later. So
amen.
My God is good. You seek him first, you put him first, and all the other things will come into place.
You're supposed to seek him first, the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else you want to be done to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to thank the Lord for this Easter Sunday tomorrow and everything he did for us on the cross. And I love him, and thank you for doing what God leads you to do. And I pray that you have a blessed Easter.
Well, you have a wonderful weekend with your family, and God loves you, and I love you too.
Okay, I love you too. Have a blessed Easter. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, 321-230, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Aunt Elise calling from New York.
Okay, give me a minute. Aunt Elise. New York, all right. Thank you, Jesus, for Aunt Elise, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Ira washom dorobo kore riata ramakai. Ina makara voso torobo koya rabasin dalamaki arabo shom dalamakai. Sondara nikiri riata rovishin arabakara voso torovikishi tan dalamakara voso torovikia. I see you it's almost like dividing something in God's word, dividing, oh, this is for this and this is for this, and you're building something. It's almost like with a, like I'm seeing a saw, and you're building. But it's also building from the word of God. And so you're dividing this, and you're putting it here, and you're, this goes here, and this goes there. You're dividing things to build something. So we thank you, Lord, for the measurements of the things in her life, that you're teaching her how to divide the word and how to apply it into her life and build her life. And so we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you know what, Aunt Elise, sometimes, you know, our measurements are a little bit off, but we learn even in the midst of our mistakes, of what we've done that shouldn't have been divided this way. And you're going to realize that's not what God meant. God meant this, not that. Oh, okay. But you know what? If we don't start somewhere learning how to do things God's way, we'll never learn that even through our mistakes that we can have things corrected and changed. And so many people are waiting for God to do the changes, and they're not moving. They're not doing the dividing of the word. They're not doing anything to figure things out, what the instructions are all about, and they get nowhere. But I see you getting somewhere. Even with the mistakes and all, you're getting better. It's almost like a carpenter that's learning how to build and makes mistakes, but the next time it builds something else, it will remember the mistakes they made. And so you're learning through the word, dividing God's word, and you've made your mistakes, and you're learning what God truly is saying to you. So we thank you, Father God, for Aunt Elise, for the dividing of the word correctly. And we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you for that growth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Aunt Elise. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, Aunt Elise. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. How are you?
Blessed.
Good to hear. Thank you so much for that word.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
What's going on? What are you dividing? What are you doing?
I don't know exactly what it could have been, but I'm just glad that you were able to say that whatever mistakes it was or can be, that I'd be learning from them and, you know, doing things the way God wants me to do. I try to, like, live by that, but, you know, sometimes certain things, you know, might not come as clear and be, you know, you might think you have a clear understanding, but sometimes, you know, you're not always 100% right, and that's okay because, you know, I'm human. But I try to, you know, live my life.
Learn.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Learn from that.
Following, yeah. You know, but nothing's really too new with me. Well, I do have, like, new work and a new project that I started as far as business and working a daytime job as well.
Okay.
But then,
okay.
Those are newest things
that
I have going on. I haven't been so, like, certain about the job, but I feel like it's not time for me to, like, leave it yet. I haven't been there that long, but I've been praying about it.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's what I should be doing right now. And I feel like every time I pray,
it's
like
hanging.
That's
what the word of God is there for. As you seek God, he's going to guide you. And even in your mistakes, he's going to help you to show you exactly what he meant. You know, as you hear his voice, you know, sometimes we think God is saying one thing and we have it, but we don't have quite have it right.
Mm-hmm.
And he corrects us and helps us to make our steps even better next time. So I just feel that you're not walking in fear and that you're whatever you're doing it with the Lord, and He's giving you the directions, the guidance on what to do. And so, don't fear.
Thank you.
And anything else you want prayer for?
Well, I do. Like I was telling you, I'm starting like a new project. It's
okay.
Like a project I want to do, like to help my community. And I had like reached out like for some sponsorship. And there was one in particular I hadn't heard back from, but they said that they'd get back to me in like a week. So I'm just praying that that everybody that I've reached out to like would get back to me with some good news.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll really be like a life changing thing if I can do this for, you know, younger people. So it's just prayer on that, I guess.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you see on Talika's heart, Father God. You see the project that she's wanting to help her community with. And Lord, I just pray that the right people will connect with her. I pray that you guide her to know where to go, what not to do. Lord, I pray that she hears your voice clearly. And even though she makes mistakes, Father God, that even from those mistakes, she learns other things to do, that they will not be mistakes that will discourage her, because all things work together for our good. And because she trusts you, they're going to work out. And so we thank you, Lord, for those sponsors, those people that are connecting. Don't let the ones that shouldn't be connected connect, Father God. Only those that should connect, Father God. I just pray in Jesus' name, and that she will learn the lessons well in Jesus' name. Help her to help those in her community. Help her and guide her in Jesus' name. Direct her path. Have your angels around her, guiding her, helping her. Place angels, earthly people that are angels, Father God, that are also for the work of God, that they will connect with her also, Father God. And don't let discouragement of any kind deter her, Father God, that even though the discouragement may come, that she will not give up. Strengthen her in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
All right, sweetie. You have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye. 402-214, your name and where you're from.
Me, Carmen. It's Sharon in New York. Hi, honey.
Hey, Sharon. Hi. All right. Give me a minute. All right. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for sharing. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. You're going to rejoice. There's something that's taking place in your life, and you're going to realize that God does hear your prayers. God does hear your prayers, Sharon. I see you rejoicing. I think this has something to do with family. And it's a glimpse of other things to come. And so God is with you, Sharon. He loves you, Sharon. So whatever that is, Lord, we just thank you for the glimpses of joy in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. All right. Sharon, how are you?
That's so nice. Hi, honey. Thank you. That's so nice.
How are you?
Okay. I was listening to your word about putting things in order. I need that bad. Mm-hmm. So I claimed it.
Amen. And so seeking God's word, he'll show you how to put those things in order. It just doesn't happen by osmosis, you know? He's going to show you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I keep wiggling my nose and thinking it's going to, you know, all get clean. And it just isn't working like that.
No. God needs our cooperation.
Right.
So we hear his voice just like the priests in the Bible, right? They waited on God for the instructions, and then they went and did it. But those that did their own thing, they end up being destroyed. We have to listen to what God says. If we do our own thing, that's pride. We thinking that we know better than God is pride.
Right.
So as you seek him more, you're going to see. You're going to hear him more. He's going to show you through his word. You're going to go, oh, so I think I need to do this. This is based on what God says. Amen?
Right. Amen. I used to be like I would read the Bible. I'd have these weird dreams. I mean, super bizarre. And I remember reading in the Bible, sometimes God will give you dreams like that so you remember them, so you remember the lesson. But I would have these bizarre dreams that made no sense at all. And then the next day I'd be reading my Bible, and I literally was reading the exact same thing I dreamt. Well, you know how there's a lot of times there's really bizarre things written in the Bible, you know, the stories and stuff about animals and, you know,
God's
what I mean.
Trying to get your attention. And then when you read it, you're like, I better pay attention to this.
Right. But it was exactly what I had dreamt the night before. That used to happen a lot. But it's funny. I was thinking today about a dream. Used to. But I was thinking about this one dream I had not long after my mom died. And it was so bizarre, but it was so clear. You know, it was just crystal clear. I could see it. And it was a sunny day. And I was walking down this road, like a dirt road. And there's like weeds or grasses on the sides of the road. And in front of me was a black panther walking in front of me. And up a ways, you know, not right in front of me, but about in front of me was walking up this road too. And then it turned around and looked at me and then turned to the right and went off the road. And that was it. That was my dream. And like I said, it was really super clear, but I don't, you know, I'm still wondering. I was wondering about it today. What did it mean? What was the, I don't know if anything comes to you in the Bible.
No,
I don't remember anywhere about a black panther.
No, I'm not getting anything. No, there's nothing in the Bible about black panther. Just the enemy bothering you while you're sleeping and disturbing you. And just make sure you pray before you go to bed and anoint your room and just pray that God covers you while you're sleeping and protects you. That's all. Sometimes the enemy messes with your sleep. Sometimes even people snore and can't breathe, are not breathing correctly, and they don't even realize that they may have sleep apnea.
Right.
Lack of oxygen can cause you to have all kind of weird dreams, too.
Yeah.
It's not always a spiritual thing. It's just a natural thing that interferes with our sleep, with our deep sleep. It keeps waking mm-hmm. you up from your deep sleep. And so, you know, maybe going to the doctor and getting a sleep test, that may help you to sleep better.
This was years ago, that dream.
Okay.
I just wanted to share it with you to see if it triggered anything.
No, I'm not getting it.
The only thing I could think of was, I mean, I never, my mother, she loved Black Panthers. And that was my only thought, was maybe, you know, it was a symbol of her going in front of me, you know, and then turning off to the right.
Maybe with your subconscious. Yeah, it could be your subconscious relating your mother with that.
Right, even though I hadn't thought of it. I mean, I didn't think of it until I saw it. But, yeah, my subconscious, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, she went before
yeah.
me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, we have not all dreams are dreams that are from God. Some of them are, but a lot of them aren't. They were like pizza dreams. We say pizza dreams is because maybe we ate something or we slept the wrong way, mm-hmm. and it triggers.
Or we're hungry.
It triggers.
We go to bed hungry, and so we dream about food.
Oh. Or we eat too much, and we dream about food.
Yeah.
Know, so.
Right. Right.
Or whatever, mm-hmm. or something, you
yeah.
know, bothering us. All right.
I'm going to ask
Sharon.
You to pray. Yeah, I just want you to ask you to pray. I'm cranking, like big time. The doctor doesn't even understand it, so I'm going to go get a special X-ray on my spine. But I mean, I'm down like 3 inches now. Another inch in a week, or excuse me, in a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But a
lot. Has your doctor put you on vitamin D?
Yeah, I am on that.
And calcium and all that stuff?
Yep.
I mean, that happens as we age, we shrink. But eating certain foods, you know, your dairy, sometimes doctors have ways of helping us with the calcium.
Right.
But that's part, yeah, that you do shrink. Everybody shrinks as they get older.
Yeah, but this was
even
the last week. Last week to this week was an inch.
Oh.
I mean, this is not normal at all. And
yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to pray. You pray with me about my
yes,
health.
Yes, we'll pray.
Restored.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just rebuke this shrinking in the name of Jesus. And Father, if there's anything that's contributing to that, we just pray that you reveal it to Sharon, that you reveal to her if there's a reason for this rapid shrinking in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father God, that you would help the doctors to locate the issue and find out what exactly is going on with her body, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we just pray as you touch her, Father God. Bless her, Father God. Touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, all her skeletal bones, her joints, everything, her discs from the top of her head, the neck, Father God. Father God, we just pray that the C-curve will be curved correctly in the name of Jesus, that anything in the spine, Father God, we pray that it lines up in Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, that you line up each side of her legs in the name of Jesus correctly from the hip down, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We command that those things to be lined up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we speak life into her bones in Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing touch.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, honey. God bless
you. You're
have
welcome.
A happy Easter.
You enjoy your family, too, and have a good weekend. God bless.
All right, honey. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. All right. Well, we're at the end of our show. God bless you all, and have a wonderful weekend. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, and let his face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.